Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's really awesome to have you with us. Is there anybody here for the first time? Anybody? You, ma'am? You know, you've been here before. Well, praise God. Well, I want to say a special hello to the Volvo sitting at the back there. Hello. Tell your granny that I'm waving at her. Oh, there we go. Yeah. What do you mean? She's registered. I'm still getting there. Wait. One thing at a time. I want to say something. You know, that dear woman sitting at the back there, she's not young anymore. And she probably doesn't need to come here to hear the sermon because she's probably got a decent life. But you know what? She made the trek out here all the way to Springs. Even though she might have been more comfortable at home or in bed or in front of the TV, she's here tonight. Let's give her a big hand of applause. And it blesses my heart to see somebody like that come to church. Then, of course, Auntie Debs. Just wave at us. Debbie is actually, she was part of my team for many years. She used to live there on my property. And she's been a great blessing to all of us. And Auntie Debs, we are actually quite chuffed and happy and blessed to see you here tonight. Amen. She immigrated to Cape Town. Yeah. Amen. But probably one of these days you'll come back, eh? Yeah, I know you miss us all terribly, don't you? Yeah. And you know what? She was actually telling me that she can't find another church there where she fits in properly. You know? So I'm very blessed that God touched her. Yeah. Amen. Right. Before I go any further, I want to ask you a favor. I want to ask that you all stand. I had a lot of drama here this afternoon to get everything set up. And I can see that the devil is really, really, really not happy to have us here today. We had all sorts of funny things happen, things with the equipment, things with the wiring, things with the food. I won't go into detail, but it was interesting. And I know that the devil is very upset, but we're going to put our foot down because it's not what he wants, it's what God wants that is going to happen. So here's what I want you to do. Lift your foot, your right foot, in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. There we go. Get under my feet. I bind every spirit, every devil, every demon. I specifically bind poverty. I bind sickness and infirmity. I bind witchcraft and sorcery. I bind lack. I bind debt. I bind destruction. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, anything that is coming to this place to rob us or steal from us, go to the pit of hell right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. Now, on Sunday, there was quite a lot of people that came and asked for prayer. They need a job. They have financial difficulty. They are battling, etc., etc. And you know what? I had God speaking to my heart that I must do a special service for God to help these people. And I prayed and I asked God to speak to me about this and to show me something in His Word that is going to touch your heart and that is going to give you the opportunity to be changed and transformed. And wow, God gave me a wonderful sermon. I pray that it's going to touch your heart the way that it touched mine. I want to say something about tonight. Tonight is just about this message. I'm not going to pray for you for healing. I'm not going to pray for your marriage. I'm not going to pray for your migraines. I'm going to pray for this. You want the rest? Come Sunday, because Sunday we pray for all of that stuff. Tonight is a special night. Tonight is just for this. Tonight we're praying for breakthrough. We're praying for prosperity. We're praying for financial stability. We're praying for God's blessing. Amen? That's what we're praying for. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we have. Thank you for the message that you have so wonderfully provided for us. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And that as we receive the truth, we shall be set free. Holy Spirit, as the word of God is preached tonight, speak into the hearts of God's children. And I thank you, Lord, that where the enemy has power over our lives, where the devil has been deceiving us and stealing from us and lying to us, I thank you that there will be liberation. I thank you and I praise you that there will be breakthrough. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Yes. No, no, no. Afterwards. We're going to do it afterwards. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, verse 27, we find the following scripture. Some of you know it. Most of you have heard it. If not all of you have heard it. It says the following. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder, and his yoke from off of thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." I want you to listen to the scripture carefully, because this scripture is the basis of what we are going to be speaking about tonight. Tonight is about the anointing. And tonight is about a very specific anointing. I call it the breakthrough anointing. And tonight we are trusting God for that breakthrough anointing to come down upon your life. And there where the enemy has put you in bondage, there where the enemy has got you, where the enemy has locked you up, where the enemy has limited you in any way, that the breakthrough anointing is going to allow you to break through. Isaiah 10 verse 27, "And it shall come to pass in that day." Look at your neighbor and say, "Today is that day." "And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken from off of your shoulder." You know, how many of you is walking around this place tonight with a lot of burdens? Burdens are worries. Worries, stress, apprehension, dread, panic. We worry about finances. We worry about the day of tomorrow. We worry about the food on the table. We worry about the petrol in the tank. We worry about the state of the country. We worry about our children. How many of you are worried right now about something? Raise your hands. I want you to speak to that worry. Say, "Worry,
worry.
Listen carefully.
Listen carefully.
Today is the day,
today is
that you come off of my shoulders. I will not have you anymore. In Jesus' name. It's time to go.
It's time to go.
And it shall come to pass on that day that the burden shall be taken away from off of your shoulders." In other words, all these things that's making you heavy, that's causing you to be downcast, that makes you feel disheartened, that makes you feel hopeless and depressed and despondent and dejected, all of those things have to come off of your shoulders. Look at your neighbor again and say, "This is the day.
This is the day."
And then he goes on and he says, "And his yoke will come from off of your neck." What sits in your neck? Pressure, tension, stress, again, worry. Amen? I want you to just move your neck a little bit. You say to the pressure, you say, "In Jesus' name,
you're coming off my neck.
Today is the day." "And his yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now, I have to explain something to you. It's not going to happen because you're cute. Although you might be, it's not going to happen because it's not going to happen because you're pretty. It's not going to happen because you're strong. It's not going to happen because you know a lot of Bible verses and you like to quote them. It's not going to happen because you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Because there's a lot of people out there that have all of these attributes, but they got nothing else. Because without the anointing, no yoke will break. Without the anointing, the burden cannot be lifted. Without the anointing, nothing happens. So I want you to say, "Thank you, Lord. For the anointing here tonight. In Jesus' name." All right, Isaiah 10 verse 27 is a prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah over Judah while they were under the yoke of oppression from the Assyrians. Okay, so Judah was besieged by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were causing untold problems and drama and destruction amongst the Judeans. And a prophecy came through one of God's prophets, the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet spoke these words. He said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, that the oppression of the Assyrians will be destroyed." The oppression of the Assyrians was the burden on the shoulders and the yoke on the neck. And under oppression, you have people telling you what to do. You can't do what you want to do. You are abused. You are violated. You are destroyed. Destruction comes into your house. You can't make money. It's big problems. Probably comparable to what some of you feel that you are going through right now. And this prophet says, "The day is coming, says the Lord, that this yoke and this burden will be destroyed." And it will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, I want to show you something very interesting. We see the supernatural manifestation of this anointing a short while later. I'm not going to ask you to guess how this destruction came upon the Assyrians. I'm going to show it to you. And I want to show you that for God, nothing is impossible. And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Take note. For God, nothing is impossible." Look at how the yoke of the Assyrians was destroyed. This is powerful stuff. Isaiah 37 verse 36. Listen carefully. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 158,000 men of the Assyrian camp. Look at your neighbor and say, wow. I mean, that's just like scary stuff. You know, the devil thought he had them all wrapped around his pinky. He thought he could do whatever he wants. When God's anointing begins to move, destruction comes upon the enemy in ways that even he could never fathom. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 158,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the bodies dead. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew, and he returned to Nineveh and stayed there. God spoke a prophecy. The prophecy was spoken over the people that the day is coming, says the Lord, that I will break the power of the oppressor over your life. That I will destroy the one that is limiting you. I will deal with the one that is being unjust toward you. And you know what? Probably the Israelites sat there and they thought to themselves, oh man, we're going to have to fight again. Oh, we're going to have to go through all of this stuff. Well, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be difficult. They didn't have to lift a finger. God's deliverance came without them having to lift one finger. Can I tell you why? Look at your neighbor and say, the anointing. The anointing was present. When the anointing is present, the power of God explodes. The devil implodes, explodes, and disappears. And I want to tell you something. God is raising up an anointing here tonight to do exactly the same thing in your life. So, I want to tell you something. When God spoke this word, there was not one person in all of Israel that could ever come up with this solution. If you asked 100,000 Israelites, they would have given you 100,000 answers, but not one of them would say, oh, you know what's going to happen? Because of the anointing that's going to come upon the angel of God, destruction will come upon 158,000 of the enemy's best fighters, and they will start cowering in their boots, and their king is going to lift his tent pegs and run back home with his tail between his legs. Nobody could come up with that, but God had a plan. So please look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan. You might not know what it is. You might not even understand how it's going to happen. But I'm telling you something. God has a plan. And when the plan of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit meet, anything can happen. So God had sent forth an anointing that would cause oppression to cease, bondage to break, and liberty to manifest for the Judeans. Sometimes the anointing is released upon men. But other times, as we see here, the anointing is released upon angels. Who says that God isn't sending an anointed angel to your life right now to break the yoke of the enemy? Oh, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Things like that don't happen. Says who? It's in the Bible. It was an angel that set Israel free. It wasn't men. It wasn't guns. It wasn't spears and arrows and fighting men. It was an angel. One angel set a nation free. Then why do you think God can't set you free? One angel changed the future of hundreds of thousands of people. What makes you think that God can't change yours? You think God doesn't have enough angels to spare? You know, Jesus made the following statement. He said that I can call 12 legions of angels to come down right now and my Father will send them. So why is your problem so big? It's not that big. It's big in your mind, but it's not big for God. And when the anointing comes, it's nothing. It's like a fart in the wind. It's gone. Regardless, when God sends forth His anointing, things are about to change. In this case, God issued forth an anointing to specifically grant His people a breakthrough. Will you agree with me that these people that had been in bondage, these people that had been besieged, received a breakthrough that day? Come on. Their breakthrough was, in one day they were set free. In one day, they were given back their freedom. They were given back their life. They were given back their dignity. They could hold their heads up high once again. You could go to work and do what you want. You didn't have somebody giving you a hard time. That is a breakthrough. It is interesting to note that the anointing seems to have done everything for them. They didn't have to lift a finger. God did it. You know, the scripture does say it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This was by no means an isolated incident. We see the same principle at work in other instances as well. If we read the book of Isaiah a little bit further later on, we will see that Israel this time was put in bondage. They went in bondage, they went into slavery to the Babylonians. They went into exile, which means that the Babylonians came there, the Babylonians conquered them. And to add insult to injury, after they were conquered and violated, they were taken, uprooted out of their homeland and taken to Babylon, and there they had to stay. Which is where Boney M. got the song, "By the Rivers of Babylon." Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, you gave me Red Bull. Yeah, it's just the way it is. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to 7. I want you to listen. You stop anything else that you're doing and you listen now. I was going to tell you to record this, but you all understand how that works, right? So we're going to be fine. Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 7. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and I will cut down the bars of iron. I will give you all the treasures of darkness, riches stored up in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name, and I bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light, and I create darkness. I bring prosperity, and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, the background is Israel is in exile. Israel is being oppressed by a very powerful nation, the Babylonians. Israel has no way to fight back. Israel can't really do anything. If you ask once again any Israelite how it is possible for them to be liberated, to be set free, they can't come up with any solution. But the fact of the matter is, the word of God does say God will make a way where there seems to be no way. They have no weapons. They don't have access to anything that they can use for weapons. They are being oppressed. They are being suppressed. And they are being exploited. They don't have the vuma to fight. But God is about to do something. As in the case of Judah, who were in bondage to the Assyrians, so now Israel is in need of God's anointing to break the yoke of slavery. The question may now arise to some of you, but what is this anointing? If I have to explain the anointing to you, the best way that I can explain the anointing to you is it is the supernatural power of God released into a person or situation to bring about change, or to bring about empowerment. The anointing is the power of God touching an individual to give them supernatural power or supernatural abilities. In other words, God-like abilities to bring about the change that God wants at that moment. There are different types of anointing given by the Holy Spirit to accomplish different types of purpose. All anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no anointing. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that releases the anointing upon an individual. You can take somebody that to the world is a nobody. The Holy Spirit's power will come upon that individual, and that individual's life will be completely and totally transformed. I'll give you a very good example. Jesus' disciples. You know, when Jesus chose the disciples, he deliberately went and he chose people that the world would never choose to bring about godly change and transformation. He chose uneducated men. He chose the roughest of the rough. He chose men that the world probably would not even take two looks at because they were nothing. Yet when the power of God came upon them, they became men of God. They had the power to cast out demons. They had the power to heal the sick. They preached to thousands of people and they brought about a revolution that is still continuing today because you and I still serve Christ. Amen. Amen. And they were just normal people. They were the type of people, if you asked in the class, what will so-and-so amount to? The class would look at them and say, oh, that one will probably become nothing. They're going to go nowhere. They're not capable of much. Well, in yourself, you might not be capable of much, but when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, let me tell you something, big things are going to happen. I'll give you some other examples. I said to you that there are different types of anointings. If we think of somebody like Solomon, Solomon is regarded to be the wisest man that ever walked the earth. Did that wisdom come from him or did that wisdom come from God? Well, if the wisdom came from God, it was released by who? It was released by the Holy Spirit. You must take into account that Solomon was a king and therefore he was anointed of the Holy Spirit by God to be able to be a king. But the anointing upon his life was a specific anointing. The anointing upon his life was an anointing that brought about wisdom. He could look at any situation and he could see it from God's perspective, not man's perspective. That is impossible for you and I to do. You cannot have the wisdom of Solomon unless you have the anointing that was on Solomon's life. Because if the same anointing touches you, the same wisdom will begin to flow through you. Solomon's wisdom came from and by the Holy Spirit. And that's why instinctively he tended to know what to do and how to handle situations. Then we have another anointing that we see in the Old Testament. How many of you know who a man by the name of Samson was? Oh, Samson was a dangerous boy, wasn't he? You messed with him only once and you did so at your own peril. Samson manifested the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but completely opposite to the way that Solomon manifested it. When the anointing manifested in Solomon's life, Solomon spoke words of wisdom. When the same anointing manifested on Samson, he manifested anger, strength, power. It's interesting to note that on some occasions when the Bible says when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, he burned with anger and rage and he went and destroyed a bunch of Philistines. Why? Because God wanted to bring judgment and the anointing upon his life, he had the warrior anointing upon his life. He was a fighter. I'm not saying he was stupid, but you cannot compare his wisdom with the wisdom of Solomon. But you see, the anointing upon his life was different from the anointing upon Solomon's life. He needed strength and power to do what God wanted him to do. Then we have somebody like Elijah. Elijah's anointing was completely different from Samson, completely different from Solomon, because Elijah operated through prophecy, signs, and wonders. Elijah had the right word for the right person. Elijah seemed to know supernaturally what the future held in people's lives. He could speak the word of God into somebody's life and he could manifest signs and wonders and miracles. Elijah might not have turned water into wine, but because of the word that he spoke, the widow's oil and flour never ceased. Elijah raised the dead. Elijah parted the waters. It was because of the anointing, but it was a specific type of anointing. That anointing did not give him supernatural strength. That anointing did not give him supernatural wisdom, but it allowed the word of God to speak through him accurately and pinpoint. And it gave him the ability to manifest miracles down here on earth. We also know that there is a specific anointing that can heal the sick. We also know that there is a specific anointing that can cast out demons. Can everybody cast out a demon? No. And some people learn that the hard way. When they try and do that, we think of the seven sons of Sceva. They were these very cool dudes in the days of the apostle Paul. And they heard about Paul going about preaching the gospel, praying for people, casting out demons. And Paul had quite a good following. And they thought to themselves, oh, wow, that's one way to be popular. I never said that they were clever. So they went and they chose this like really insanely, maniacally possessed individual. Probably like a mass murderer of some kind. And they went to go and cast out his demons. And the demons turned on them and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but you, who are you? And the Bible says he turned on them and he beat them silly. By the time he was finished, they ran naked and ashamed down the street. Can anybody cast out demons? No. There's an anointing that allows that to happen. So we know that there is a healing anointing. When that anointing manifests, people get healed supernaturally. We know that there is an anointing to cast out demons. When that anointing is present, demons begin to scream and come out of people. And we know that Jesus was the first man that walked the earth that had that anointing. And we also know that that same anointing is available to everybody that follows him and is called by him. He told his disciples, go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Amen? Okay. So what I'm trying to show you is simply this. I'm trying to show you that there are different types of anointing. The Holy Spirit is the one that decides how, what, where, and when to give those anointings. But the anointings are real, and the anointings exist. Where the Holy Spirit releases them, they begin to manifest. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives them. There may be many other types of anointing, but for today I want to focus on the breakthrough anointing. We know that both Israel and Judah were liberated by a breakthrough anointing that was released by God. In the case of Judah, God released the anointing. An angel received the anointing. The angel was divinely empowered by the Holy Spirit and released to go and destroy 158,000 men. And immediately the siege was broken. Immediately the Assyrians were destroyed. Their king ran away back to his home. In the case of Israel, it worked a little bit different. And I'm going to show you now how it worked. In the case of Israel, the anointing was released once again a breakthrough anointing that would change their circumstances immediately and forever. But here's what happened. This time the anointing wasn't released upon an angel. This time the anointing was released upon a man. That man received the power of God to fulfill God's destiny. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples were thrown in jail. They were doing signs, they were doing wonders, they were doing miracles. The Pharisees got all upset. The preachers of the law became upset. They hatched a plan. They arrested them. They threw all the disciples in jail. Guess what God did? God said, I'm not interested. I'm not happy with the situation. It's going to change now. God released anointing. Guess what happened? An angel received the anointing. That angel was sent by the Holy Spirit to that prison. He went there. He opened the door. He said to the disciples, leave. This is not for you. Supernaturally. Nobody opened the door. Nobody stopped them. They just walked out of prison. Why? The anointing came into that room. In Acts chapter 5 verse 18, we read the following. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord. Opened the doors. And brought them out. Why was the angel there? Because the anointing was released. He was empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, in the book of Acts chapter 12, we see the apostle Peter thrown in prison once again. And once again, supernaturally, the next moment an angel appears, releases him from his chains, opens the door, and lets him walk out. The breakthrough anointing came. Now let's take a closer look at how this breakthrough anointing worked for Israel, because we can learn a lot about how this anointing works in our lives. The first thing that I find quite amazing is that this anointing can manifest itself in the most unlikely of ways. The man upon whom the anointing came to break the yoke was a man by the name of Cyrus. The interesting thing about Cyrus is Cyrus was not an Israelite. Cyrus was not even a believer. Cyrus was a heathen ruler. Listen to me carefully. Cyrus was an unbeliever. Cyrus might as well have been an uncircumcised Philistine. He was the type of person that you would least expect the anointing and the power of God to come upon. But I want to tell you something about God. God doesn't care who you are or where you come from. If the anointing and the power of God is released upon you, you will do what God wants you to do. Some of you have people in your life that right now are a big stumbling block. Guess what? And you have this thing, oh, but you know what? They don't even believe in God. I don't care. Cyrus did not believe in God, yet Cyrus became the key that would deliver Israel. He worshipped false gods, but he worked for God. You can worship as many gods as you want. When the only God puts his finger on you, and when his power is released in you, you jump to attention. Your spirit says, yes, sir. I must jump, sir. How high, sir? How many times, sir? God doesn't care where the person comes from. God doesn't care where the person is on his way to. When God can use a person, God will use anybody. I've told you before, God used a donkey. Then he can use anybody. Julius Malema, you got problems. Amen. Cyrus was an unbeliever. He did not know God at all. Yet he was the right person to use, and so God caused anointing to come upon him. Boom. And you know what? One day he just had this strange sensation. He feels like invading Babylon, and after invading Babylon, he feels like telling the people that were in bondage there, the people that lived in exile there, called the Israelites, what you doing here? Go back to where you came from. Just like that. Boom. The Israelites did not have the power to set themselves free, but Cyrus did. God touched Cyrus to set the captives free. Did he do it willingly? I can promise you he didn't. I can tell you now, while he was telling them to leave, he was thinking, where does that voice come from? Probably when he got home, his wife said, what's wrong with you? You released all my slaves. He was like, oh, I don't know. But they're gone now. Let them go. Generally, we may expect the anointing to only come upon believers. But when God wants to fulfill his purpose, nothing will stop him. Now I want to show you the effect that the anointing had. The first thing that God says there when God speaks of Cyrus, and I actually just want to show you something interesting. Just let me quickly go back to where I wrote that down. Isaiah 45 verse 1 to 7. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus. God uses the same words speaking about Cyrus that he did when he used, when he spoke to Jesus. Jesus was the anointed one. But when God speaks to Cyrus, he speaks to Cyrus as the anointed one. Do you know why? Because like Jesus, Cyrus came to bring salvation. It was through the Spirit and the power of God that Cyrus became anointed. And Cyrus, whether he liked it or not, whether he wanted to do it or not, salvation would come through him to the people that God had destined to be saved. All right, let's go back. We are now here. The first thing that God says when he speaks to Cyrus, he says, my anointing will come upon you and work through you to subdue nations. Do you hear that? God's anointing upon this man is going to work through him to overpower every enemy and every adversary that wants to see Israel in bondage. Every nation that had Israel there under their thumb, every enemy of Israel would have to bow to Cyrus. Cyrus had the power given by God to subdue nations. In other words, to conquer nations. God will conquer nations if that means the pathway to your liberation. The second thing that he says, he will strip their kings of their armor. Now, every enemy that you are faced with right now, and you have some enemies, some of you, your enemy is debt. Some of you, your enemy is poverty. Some of you, your enemy is famine. Some of you, your enemy is stupidity. You don't know how to work with money. Yes, it is a demon. It does like to touch a lot of people when it comes to money. Can you prosper if you have the spirit of stupidity? Well, money will come and money will go as quickly as it comes. And you will have nothing to show for it. So there's a lot of enemies that can cause us to be in a place of bondage, that can rob us of our ability to prosper. You know, God blesses a lot of people, but a lot of people have nothing to show for the blessing of God. It's not His fault. It's your fault. And it has to do with the enemies that is at work in your camp. So now, listen to this. He says, I will cause their kings to be stripped of their armor. In other words, every enemy that we have has means to defend themselves. You know, there's a lot of demons. We pray and pray and pray. And the reason we're not really getting very far is because they have sort of bunkered themselves in and they have a lot of protection. The Bible speaks of a spirit by the name of Leviathan. It says of Leviathan that he is very well protected, that he has no weaknesses, that you will take him on at your own peril. Me, I've encountered the spirit of Leviathan a couple of times. Normally it takes 4 to 5 hours to cast this stupid thing out. Okay, by the grace of God, lately it's been quick, but there are times when it can take that long. You have to pray and pray and pray, and he keeps telling you stuff. You go jump in the lake. I'm going nowhere. I'm in charge here. You know why he's so cocky? Because the Bible says he's well protected. Now look at what this anointing does. This anointing, when God releases the breakthrough anointing strips your enemy of their defenses. You know those demons that you've been praying and praying and praying and praying against? Debt, poverty, lack, insufficiency. The ones that hold the doors closed. The ones that open the wrong doors. The ones that always touch everything with destruction. The ones that are very well protected. When this anointing comes, the Bible says, He will strip them of their armor. You know, when you walk onto the battlefield and you've got your full knight costume on, you look like King Arthur. Then you're probably going to be quite cocky when the other oak is standing there with a short little knife. Because you know he can't do much. But I want to see you when that armor is suddenly stripped away and he's still standing there with a short little sword. But now you've got no armor. Are you still going to be cocky? Or are you probably now going to turn around and run away? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm probably going to turn around and run away. Amen? The anointing will strip them of their armor. And when they are stripped of their armor, it gives us the ability to defeat them. Even nations will have to bow before God if He wants to give a breakthrough to His people. Now, listen to the third thing that God says. The anointing that will come upon Cyrus, when the breakthrough anointing is released, this is what will happen. He says that doors will be opened and gates will not be shut. How many of you feel today that you are standing before many closed doors? You have this feeling in your gut. You just know that you know that something is supposed to happen. But no matter how you push against that door will not open. Listen to me carefully. There's an anointing that opens doors. There you read about it. When this anointing comes, it causes doors to open. And he says, yeah, he will open doors so that gates will not be shut. There's a whole bunch of devils that like to keep doors closed. If they know that prosperity is behind this door, that's the door they're going to try and close. Can I tell you why? Because they know that we then become frustrated and we start cursing God. A lot of us is like, oh, you know what, I'm not going to, if this is how God wants to treat me, I'm not going to serve God anymore. They know that when you get to the other side of that door, a lot of things are going to fall into place. So they try and keep the door closed. But when this anointing comes, it doesn't matter how much they've welded that door shut or bolted that door shut or how much stuff they've pushed in front of it, the anointing will push the door open. No door will remain shut. So that anointing opens doors. Then God says, and I will go ahead of you and I will level mountains for you. This anointing levels Mountains. What is mountains? It's obstacles. Mountains are obstacles. Mountains are problems. Mountains are the things that the devil has brought into your path to try and discourage you. You know, this is just the way we are. And I don't think anybody is any different from what I'm going to explain now. When you have to climb too many mountains, you're like, oh, I couldn't be bothered. I don't want to do this anymore. Now I'm going to sit now. I'm not going to walk this road anymore. This is not right. This is unfair. Why must I work so hard? Why is everything so difficult? Obstacles, obstacles, obstacles. What if I was to tell you that there is an anointing that can level that mountain? What if I was to tell you that you don't have to climb every single mountain, that there is an anointing that can come down from God, and when it touches your life, I don't care how big that mountain is, God says, I will go ahead of you and bring that mountain down. What if I was to say to you that a lot of the obstacles that the enemy has put in your way right now, like people, sometimes you have people, like one person that can say yes to something, but they're like stubborn or no. They're an obstacle. Guess what? God's going to level them. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but the word of God says God will level the mountain. Probably the oak's going to turn into a midget. I don't know. But he's going to come down. No, the anointing will change his mind. The one that keeps saying no will suddenly turn around and say yes. They won't know why they're suddenly saying yes, because the Spirit of God will speak through them. You must understand something. When Cyrus let Israel go, it was never his plan to let them go. God just spoke through him. God just said, yes, go. Later on, he thought to himself, how stupid was that? But God wanted it to happen, so it happened. When this anointing comes, it pushes obstacles out of your way. You know that company that's always causing problems for you? Whoever's sitting behind that is suddenly going to get fired, or they're going to get promoted, or somehow they're not going to be in that position, and suddenly something is going to go through. Amen? When the breakthrough anointing of God is released, things begin to change. Mountains can be seen as obstacles, and God's anointing will destroy all obstacles in your way, opening the way for you to get to a place of victory and prosperity. Now listen to this. Then he says, I will break down gates of bronze and break the bars of iron. When you think about the bars of iron, what do you think of? Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind, is a prison. How many of you feel sometimes in your life like you're imprisoned? Like you try and go, but you like, it's like, you know, I can't do the moonwalk really, but if I could, I would like be standing here, like walking in one spot, because you can't go anyway, because there's these bars around you. Can the enemy do that? Yes, he can. You know, we sometimes refer to that as we are caged. It's like we are put in this cage. We know we're supposed to be further than what we are right now, but for some reason we can't get going. What happens when this anointing comes down? The cage opens. God breaks it open. I repeat. God will break down gates of bronze and he will break open bars of iron. In other words, it's exactly the same as what Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free. If you are being held captive now by debt, by poverty, by lack, by insufficiency, you name it, you put it there, whatever it is, then the word of God says when this anointing comes down, it is going to break open that prison and allow you to move out, no longer captivated by your circumstances. How many of you believe that in some way you're stuck? You're stuck in the same place and you try and go and you try and go and you don't seem to get out. Look at your neighbor and say, I have good news.
I have good news.
The prison
opens
today.
Today.
Amen.
I'm out on bail.
No, you don't have to be out on bail. You're just going to be out. Out on bail means you have to come back. You're just going to go. God's anointing will break the cage. Then God says, oh, I love this. Listen to this. I will give you the treasures of darkness. Oh, wow. Now, please look at your neighbor and say, ooh. follow that up with a wow. I will give you the treasures of darkness. Now, you know, the way I look at it, you can see this in two different ways. Darkness can be linked to Satan. Does Satan have a lot of treasures?
Oh,
he's been stealing from people for a long time. Guess what? The wealth of the wicked will be returned to the wise. The Bible says so. Amen. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. You know that devil that's been stealing from you and your father and your father's father and your great grandfather and everybody else? When this anointing comes, darkness has to give back. The treasures that the devil is sitting on right now, when this anointing comes down, he has to give back what he took. Or otherwise, God just empowers you to just take it back. Amen? Darkness is also the place where we don't see. I want to say something to you. Some of us, our opportunities are all around us. But it's like we are in darkness. We don't see. The Bible speaks of those that see, but they never see. In other words, it's like in the spirit world, we are in a sense in darkness. The breakthrough is right here. The right door is right there. The tool we need is right here. But because we're groping around in the darkness, we can't find it. God will give you the treasures that are right now in darkness. In other words, you will find the door. You will see it. You will pick up the right tool that will open the door. You will see it. That gem that's lying right there that you didn't even see. It could be a person. It could be a company. It could be an institution. I don't know what it is. It could be something in yourself. Maybe there's a lot of boldness inside of you that you've never really seen because it was suppressed by darkness. God will cause it, boom, to manifest and to come forward. Fact of the matter is, when this anointing comes, darkness is coming down because the light of God will destroy it. Then he says, I will give you the riches stored up in secret places. Now, this is very different from the treasures of darkness. The treasures of darkness to me is what the enemy has, what he has siphoned off, what he has stolen, what he has pilfered over the years and over the decades, and he's got it somewhere. But now God says, and I will give you the riches in the secret places. Who does the secret places belong to? It belongs to God. There is untold riches belonging to God that right now is hidden in secret. Now, why on earth would God hide it in secret? Because God's not stupid. There's a thief out there. And if the thief knows where it is, the thief will run away with it. And God doesn't want to empower the thief. God doesn't want to prosper the thief. God wants to prosper, wait for it, you.
Amen.
God wants to prosper you. Come on, do better than that. Give the Lord a big hand. In God's own words, I will give you riches stored up in secret places. Georgie, I have some good news. There's riches stored up for you in secret places. You don't have it right now because you don't know where the secret place is, but the devil doesn't know where it is either. So it's going to stay there for you. And auntie, guess what? There's riches for you. All right, I'm going to have to help her carry. Carlos, I have good news for you. There's riches stored up for you in a secret place.
Amen.
Jerry, I've got good news for you. There's riches stored up for you in a secret place. I just saw his wife's eyes go like ding, 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 ding. Her brain was going, new shoes, new dresses. Oh. Amen?
Amen.
Don't worry, God's got your own riches stored up for you. And listen to this, it's stored up in secret places, which means without the anointing, you can never find it. Without the anointing, you will spend your whole life going from left to right, from top to bottom. You will not find it because the anointing is the key to solving the mystery of where the riches is. If you are working for a boss, I want to tell you something. Your boss is not the provider. God is the provider. And when the riches is released, it will come through your boss or it will come some other way. But it's going to come. If you work for yourself, I've got good news for you. There is untold riches put aside for you. You just have to find it. It could be new contracts. It could be new business. It could be new associations. It could be new ideas. Listen, yeah, you can't limit God. It's not just money. Sometimes it's the means to get to the place of money. But the fact of the matter is, when this anointing comes upon you, it is going to bring you to the place where you find the secret riches of God. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, bless God. This anointing gives you access to the secret places of God. And then God ends off, he says, I will do all of this for my name's sake and for my glory. And I want us to remember something. Everybody that's here tonight wants to be prosperous. Everybody that's here tonight wants to be blessed. That's why you're here, because you knew what I was going to talk about. But God doesn't bless you for your sake. He blesses you for his sake. God doesn't prosper you for your sake. He prospers you for his sake. And what I mean by that is, when prosperity comes, the one thing that you must never forget, give glory where glory is due. The glory doesn't come to you. It's not like, I did it. I want to remind you, Nebuchadnezzar looked at his kingdom and he said, I'm such a good king. I did it. God looked down from heaven and said, is that so? God zapped him. He turned into a wild animal. He went cuckoos. For 7 years he ate grass in the fields like an animal because he did not give glory where glory was due. When God blesses you and you take the glory for yourself, I want to tell you something, your prosperity will stop right there and it will be taken away and given to somebody else that is willing to glorify God. In all things, whether you have little or whether you have much, give glory to God. Give him praise, give him honor, give him worship. And if somebody says to you, oh wow, you have such a nice business, you must have worked very hard. You stop them right there. You say, listen, you know what? I want to explain something to you. Yes, I work just as hard as anybody else. But the fact that I'm sitting here today, I give glory to God. It was him that gave me the opportunity. Amen. When you come home and you tell your family, hey, guess what? The boss just promoted me. I'm the general manager of this, this, this. And they come and like, oh, wow, we're so proud of you. Oh, you did so well. Stop right there. It's not because of me. It's in spite of me. It was God. God did this for me. Honor God with me. Honor God for me. For what God has done for me. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is concerned about his name. Let me tell you something about Christians. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them. We live in a society where we take everything for granted. We go to church. We read the Bible. We get blessed. It's like, oh, I worked so hard. I deserve this. What? No. God did this. People don't give God glory anymore. And then they wonder why God stops moving in their life. God deserves the glory. You know, I don't know if that was the song we sang earlier on, or maybe we're going to sing it later. Terry McCormick sings that song, You Deserve the Glory. And that's what it's about. And the honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. That's what it's about. God wants to see if you are willing, if you are man enough or woman enough to say to worldly people, hey, stop there. It's because of him. He does it for his name's sake. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. God's name means something. Those that realize that will always point to his name when glory must be given. And they will keep going forward. Now, Isaiah 45 verse 7. I form the light and I create the darkness. Did you hear that? If you are in darkness right now, where are you going to find the light? God will give it. Now, he's still speaking about the anointing that came upon Cyrus. When you come under this anointing illuminates. God gives light. And I've said to you many times, when there's light, we can see. We know where to go. We know what to pick up. We see the obstacles. It becomes easier. God says, I form the light and I create the darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. Where does prosperity come from? Look at your neighbor and say, God creates prosperity. When this anointing comes, this anointing brings prosperity. Is there anybody here today that needs prosperity? Then what you need is this anointing. Because the anointing brings the prosperity. He says there, I create prosperity and I create disaster. Where will the disaster fall? On the enemy. God doesn't want to destroy you, but God wants to bring disaster to the plans of the enemy. This anointing brings God's light into your life, giving you the opportunity to see things in a different way. You know, sometimes we're stuck because we only see it this way. God looks down from heaven and he sees the bigger picture. When the light of God comes, we begin to see things God's way and we begin to make the changes necessary to move forward. Ultimately, because of this anointing, God causes prosperity to come upon your life. Now, I want to end off by saying this to you. How many of you, at some point in time in your life, when you were sick, came and asked for prayer for healing? Wave at me. Come on, if you asked for prayer for healing, wave. All right? That's most of you. Why did you come and ask for healing? To be healed, because you had faith in God that God could heal you. Amen. Otherwise, you wouldn't have asked. Because you, even though you might not have understood it the way I explained it today, you knew that God has the ability to heal, and therefore you came and you said, Lord, I have this problem, please heal me. And many of you in this place can wave your hands and say, hey, raise your hands if God has healed you of anything. Well, that's most of you still. Now, because we understand that there is a healing anointing, we come to God and we ask him for it. But tonight I'm telling you that there is a breakthrough anointing. And you should come to God and ask him for it. And just like you trust him for healing, so tonight you should trust him for breakthrough. Because the same giver, the Holy Spirit, gives this anointing. But it's for a different purpose. We pray for people to get healed. Boom, we see them get healed. Then why can't we see people receive this breakthrough anointing? The Bible tells us it's there. It's real. It even shows us specifically how it's broken down. I'm going to quickly recap and then I'm finished. How many of you would like this anointing? This is what it does. This is what it does. It causes nations to be subdued. In other words, it means God will overpower every enemy in your life. It will strip the kings of their armor. In other words, God will weaken your enemies to the point that you can walk over them. Praise God. Then he says, I will open doors so that gates will not be shut. Every door that you have been pushing on that the enemy has shut is going to be pushed open because of the anointing. God will cause the anointing to move ahead of you and level mountains. Every obstacle in your way, whether it is an institution, whether it is a person, whether it is a place, God will level it. Whether it is a demon, a principality, or a power, God will bring them down. Then he says, the anointing will open the bars of the prison. In other words, every area in which the enemy has put you in bondage, I'm talking bondage that causes you to lack prosperity, is going to be broken open so that you can go out. Breakthrough, breakthrough. God is going to give breakthrough. Then he says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. In other words, the devil has stolen a lot from you and your opa and your oma and everybody else and so much, just a lot of people in general. That stuff is out there. God knows where it is. When this anointing comes, it's going to start coming back to you. That reminds me, I think we must claim that right now. I think so. I think so. Okay, I'm not going to do it now, but just now we're going to do it. Then, I will give you the riches stored up in secret places. God has a secret place. Your name is in a secret place. Your name is in a secret place. Your name. And there's untold riches. Even yours. How do you like that? Huh? Victor, you're like blown away. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, I never thought Christianity had all this stuff. You know, the last time I went to church, they told me to stand and sit and stand and sit. I had to speak in this funny language. But yeah, I'm learning some stuff. Wow, this is good stuff. Yes, amen. God is good, eh? Yeah. Yeah, Victor, there's a place with your name on it.
Amen.
And in that place, there's untold riches.
Amen.
Amen. And can I tell you something? What's your wife's name again?
Dina.
Guess what? There's a place with your name on it as well. Guess what's one of the riches that's in that place? It's called my brand new husband. Amen. Ah, Victor. Now you're blushing, mommy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Well, praise God. So this anointing gives us access to the secret places of God. My friend, finally it says when this anointing comes, prosperity will follow.
Amen.
This anointing is real.
Amen.
Because of this anointing, Israel was liberated. Because of this anointing, Judah was liberated. Because of this anointing, the apostles were set free. Because of this anointing, Peter was set free. When this anointing starts kicking in your life, you're going to have to just fasten your seatbelt and hold on, because things are going to happen quickly.
Amen.
Did anybody learn something today?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand, please.